All right, Matthew chapter number two. The good thing about being the first speaker is nobody steals your message. And so it is around Christmas time, and see, y'all have a Christmas tree. We have, I was talking this with Brother Shelton before, around our area, we got a lot of these Hebrew roots people, so they get on my nerves, to be honest with you. Every, you know, Christmas is wicked. That's fine. If you don't want to put a tree up in your house, go ahead, we do. And, you know, they also believe you got to keep the dietary laws. And we got a young man, we led their whole family to Christ. I also coach him on the basketball team there at Boulevard now. And anyways, he's got a shirt that's got a big piece of bacon on it. And it says, "Bacon, another reason I know Jesus loves me." And I know you shouldn't be this way, but I said, "Hey, I'm going to go visit some of these Hebrew roots people. Come with me, wear that shirt." And that's terrible, isn't it? We didn't really do that, but we did joke about it. Lord humbles you in a lot of ways. I'm giving you time to get there. I know you preachers are supposed to know where these passages are, Matthew chapter 2. But my dad, he had his 20-year anniversary, and I got to preach there. And he said, "I'm going to get you a new suit for Christmas." "Thanks, Dad. What's wrong with my suit, you know?" And he said, "You outgrown them. I've only gained 30 pounds since I last bought a suit. It's all muscle." But I said, "They fit me fine." And I knew I'd see my dad today, and I reached down the floorboard of my car to get my Bible, and I'd rip the back sleeve of my suit. I hope y'all didn't see that. And so I always wanted to do that Hulk Hogan thing, you know, where you could just rip the shirt off, just not on my way to the fellowship meeting today. But I got a new suit on the way. It's in the mail, so it's all good. Lord prepares, you know. Matthew chapter number 2. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they came a long ways. It's amazing to me that they came on the great journey they did, but none of the scribes and Pharisees, a religious crowd that was just a few miles away, we don't ever read about them going to Bethlehem. And we read later in the passage that they knew that the king was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Yeah. Now, apparently these wise men didn't know that, but they knew. I believe they were influenced by Daniel, maybe Balaam, and that prophecy about his star, the scepter coming out of Jacob. I believe they were influenced, and I believe they were looking for him. They had the prophecy of Daniel 70 weeks and all those types of things, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Herod didn't like to hear that because that was his title. "For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." This tells me two things. They recognized that he was a king, but they also recognized he was God. Only God receives worship, and they said, "We've come to worship him." That amazes me. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Now we understand that's not really what he wanted. He wanted to destroy him. Verse number 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, apparently reappeared, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Now the thing about Scripture is it will give us wisdom. And these men are called wise men. Of course, there's a whole book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs. I've gone through it twice in my 7 years of pastoring. And I believe we need it. There's 31 chapters, and we could do one a day, and many of you do those types of things. But the Bible says, "With all thy getting, get wisdom." And the Bible says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives it liberally to anybody that will ask in faith." You know, sometimes I believe we view wisdom like we view the will of God, like it's an Easter egg hunt and God's trying to hide it from us. That's not how wisdom is presented in Scripture at all. The Bible says wisdom is personified as a woman in the chief place of concourse saying, "Here I am, listen to me." Wisdom is available. and we need wisdom. And I believe from different passages of Scripture, the Bible itself, we gain the wisdom of God. Now, there's an earthly wisdom that's earthly, sensual, devilish, and there's the wisdom that's from above. Not everybody that gives you wisdom is the right kind of wisdom. You got to know how to take the right counsel and the wrong counsel. How do you know it's the right counsel? If it lines up with the Word of God, it's that simple. And these men, you know, they're called magi, and, you know, there's a lot of interesting debates about these men. But the Bible calls them wise men. And I just got a simple message for you this morning. Why the wise men were wise. Why I believe we can gain some wisdom from these men. Why the wise men were wise. Now, I was just going to mess around, but Brother Williams said, don't mess around, preach. So we're going to preach this morning. I wasn't going to, but he told me to. Why the wise men were wise. First of all, we find in verse 2 as well as in verse number 9, the Bible says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. And then in verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The first reason why the wise men were wise is because they responded to the sign. Now you say, how did they know that it was his star? I like that, by the way. It was his star, God's revelation, and they followed it to the Messiah. How did they know that it was his star? People ask me that all the time. How do you know this is his book? Well, I don't have any better answer than this. God just reveals it to you. I mean, I just know it stands out above any other book. And we could talk about the changed lives, and we could talk about how it stood the test of time and all these types of things. But I just tell you, there's something about that point of light, that star in the heavens that stood out above all the rest. And I'll tell you about this book. You know, there's a lot of other translations out there, but it stands out above the rest. And if you got the leading of God, he'll point it out to you. It's his star. I wish I had something a little more profound for you than that, but I just tell you, you just know it when you see it. That's his star. And, you know, some people know that, but they don't respond to it. The Bible says in James that we're not to be just hearers of the word, but to be doers also. And I like the fact that these wise men, again, I believe that they were influenced by Daniel. I believe they knew some of the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks, and they were looking for the coming Messiah the scribes and Pharisees apparently weren't. And they said, this is his sign, and they responded to it. They went probably 800 miles from Persia, and they followed the sign, and they responded to the sign of God. Now, there's two primary revelations of God according to Scripture. God, revelation through his work. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, it tells us in Romans 1, verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says that God has revealed himself in creation. You know, naturalistic evolution is not only improbable, it's mathematically impossible. Did you know that? I mean, if you say there's ministries out there, and I'm not a creation scientist, I'll let those guys do those jobs, but I'm telling you, it goes against common knowledge, common understanding. Our natural man understands when you look up and see the creation that there's a God. God's revelation through his work, but he's given us even a better revelation, God's revelation through his word. God reveals through his word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing. We know these passages of Scripture, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we lead people to Christ. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's revelation through his word. God reproves through his spirit. John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. The wisest thing that you can do is to respond to the light of God's revelation. That's the wisest thing you can do. Obviously, as a lost person, lost and undone and on your way to hell, the wisest thing you can do is to respond to the light of the gospel and be saved. And then as saved people, the wisest thing we can do is to take the instruction, the reproof, the correction from Scripture, and to respond to it and to change our life according to the Word of God. They were wise because they responded to the sign. They were also wise because they recognized the sovereign. In verse number 2, it says, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They recognized who he was. And again, as I've already pointed out, not just that he was a king, but that he's God. Now, the Jews, for the most part, missed this, didn't they? They had the Old Testament memorized, many of them, and yet they were upset when he said, before Abraham was, I am. The tetragrammaton, the title of God, as when Moses at the burning bush said, who shall I say sent me? They said, God said, tell him, I am sent you, not I was or I will be, but I am the self-existent one. And when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, they understood what he was saying. Amen. I'm God. I preached from this last week from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and one of his names is the Mighty God. Amen. I like talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, bring that one out, because they're not prepared for that one most of the time. I've stumped a couple of them. I said, let's go to the Old Testament. How is a child that's born named Mighty God? He's also named Everlasting Father in that passage. That's an incarnate God right there in the Old Testament. Amen. See, but most of that crowd, they didn't know who he was. You say, how do you know that? Even the disciples, he asked them in Matthew 16, 13 through 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. That's always been kind of weird to me because John the Baptist baptized them and they were close in age, but you know they thought he was John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead. Some, Elias or Elijah. I do like the fact that John the Baptist came in the spirit and might of Elijah, and Jesus was compared to the preaching of John the Baptist and Elijah both. That kind of tells us a little bit what type of preacher he was. Go back and read about Elijah, and he was a hellfire and brimstone type preacher. But Jesus was also compassionate. You can take a lot of these characteristics from here. Others said he was Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized who he was. And if you were to go, this is what we do when we go witness. And we ask people, who is Jesus? And you'll get a lot of different answers. As I mentioned, Jehovah's Witness and others that even in their dogma claim to be Christian or have association with Christ, they believe he was just a man. They believe he is just a man. And there's many that believe that way today. Some say that he was a good man and nothing more. Some say that he was a prophet, you know, like the Muslims do. They say he's a prophet. And some say that he was a fraud. But I'll tell you, wise people will recognize who he is. He is the sovereign Son of God, the ruler, the creator of all things. Amen. The third thing is this. They were wise because they rejoiced in the star. Now again, apparently they didn't know that passage that the Pharisees did and the scribes, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They came to Jerusalem. I believe God had a plan for that because these guys were kingmakers. The Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as king, and this is the Gentile witness. In the next chapter, you'll have the Jewish witness of the coming king through John the Baptist. But I believe it was God's plan for him to come to Herod, the ruler there of the Gentile world, and announce the coming of the king. But the star led them to a certain point, and they came to Jerusalem, and then after they left, the star appeared again. In verse number 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Great joy. We already talked about, made the application about God's revelation. And I want to make that application again. Do you rejoice in God's revelation? Now, I wonder sometimes because I preach to crowds and we do Sunday school, we do Wednesday night. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to judge people by the way their face looks, but sometimes you can and it just doesn't look like they're too excited to be there. Now, we all get in the flesh sometimes, and sometimes we just get tired, and I'm not saying we're always as spiritual as we ought to be, and I don't want to separate myself there, but I'll tell you, we ought to be excited about the Word of God. I mean, we ought to rejoice in it. I mean, it's compared to that manna from heaven, and we get to eat angels' food. But you know what happens sometimes? We're like the children of Israel who said, man, our soul loathes this bread. They started getting a little backslidden and said, we want the leeks and garlics and onions from Egypt, which is a picture of the world. I'm telling you, their breath must have been kicking. I mean, leeks and garlic and onion. But, you know, you say, how can you compare that to, I don't know what coriander seed is, but apparently it tasted pretty good. But I know what honey is, and I love me some honey. And that's what it says that manna tasted like. But they said, we loathe this. That's where people start getting, they say, hey, we got fresh sermons from the Word of God. And I mean, we're getting fed from heaven. But man, I remember when we used to be able to drink and dress the way we wanted to and listen to the music we wanted to, and we desire and have an appetite for the worldly things again. No, you ought to rejoice in the manna from heaven. Do you realize you were a slave in Egypt and God delivered you from that, and now He's giving you some good food? Jesus is that bread from heaven, and He satisfies that spiritual hunger. I'll tell you, He satisfies it when you get saved, but you get fresh manna every day, getting the Word of God. You ought to rejoice after it. I mean, we ought to desire it as newborn babes. I mean, we ought to want it like we want that meal, that Big Joe's that's coming down. I'm telling you, we had a stomach bug going around. Unless I got a stomach bug, if there's good food coming around, I am there. You know, I coach at the Christian school there, and they're real gracious with me. And I said, I may not be back in time for the first coaching session. My wife said, you could be if you skip the meal. I said, that ain't happening, babe. There's Big Joe's coming on down here. That's not happening. And so I get that opportunity. Hey, they let me do it. I'm going to do it. And so you ought to be that way with the Word of God. Some of us can just go without the Word of God 2-3 days. I know I'm probably preaching the choir here, but I don't miss too many meals. I mean, I have to purposely fast. I don't just accidentally fast. And so, you know, that's one of those spiritual commands I'm not real keen on. But, you know, we do it. But, you know, I like to eat, and I love the Word of God. We ought to rejoice in it. I mean, we had this one fellow in our church. People say, he's kind of too loud. He says amen real loud. I said, he's sincere about it. Why don't you love the Word of God like that? I'm not saying disrupt the service. Understand what I'm saying. But I'm saying have an excitement about it. I mean, there's people, I love this crowd. You get around and you just talk about the Bible because it's on your heart and you love it and you rejoice in it. I tell people that about social media. I said, you know, I'm not discouraged that all you post about is your family or sports and stuff, but I wonder why you never say anything about the Lord. Well, it's not all about that. Yeah, but if it's in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. How come you never talk about it? How come you never post about it? How come you never say anything about it? That worries me. I mean, it ought to be the desire of our heart. We ought to rejoice in His revelation. I mean, there's people that died for us to have this book. This book should be precious to us. You know, I saw a meme the other day, if y'all know what that is, but it showed Coach Doc Rivers being held back. It says, when people say there's errors in the King James, this is me, you know. That's kind of probably how you ought to feel about it. I love this. Amen. This man is from heaven. There's no problem with this. Problems with you if you don't like it. You got to rejoice in it. Do you rejoice in God's light? Do you rejoice in God's leading? It's through God's revelation that He leads us. And they were excited to be led and to be revealed God's revelation. They rejoiced in the star. The fourth reason I believe they were wise is they reverenced the sun. They reverenced the sun. In verse number 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. I've had people ask, and in most churches I've been in, this is the case, you know, kind of my age group is flocking away from independent Baptists. I mean, we need to understand this. 20, 30-year-olds. For most part, you'll see churches, they'll have teenagers, and then they'll have, you know, the 40-year-olds and the middle age, and then, you know, that group is missing. Not in every church, but for the most part, a lot of our independent Baptist churches, that's missing. You say, well, why are they going? Well, a lot of it's just carnality. They're not where they need to be. But a lot of it is, too, and I've been to a lot of churches. I believe a lot of times we go to strange fire, and that's not just Pentecostal I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just some of this weird type of worship we got going on in, like, non-denominational or even in some Baptist churches. I think they're going for strange fire because some of our churches have no fire. They would like to see some passion. I mean, they want to see some rejoicing, some life, some joy, you know. And you know where that comes from? Because you got to understand this. We promote some of the wrong things. We say, you know, if you'll follow Jesus, then, you know, all these good things will happen to you. Well, not always. Sometimes you get thrown in a lion's den. Sometimes you get thrown in a fiery furnace. Sometimes you get martyred. You got to stay, you know what will keep you going is a love for Jesus. And what the missing element is, it's not the type of music, it's the spirit behind what we're doing. We don't worship. We don't worship. I mean, they worshiped Him. I like that song we sing, Brethren, we have met to worship. Sometimes we meet for the wrong reasons. See, we come and say, I don't get anything out of service. And I tell people, well, then you came for the wrong reason. You're supposed to come for you. You know, Joel Osteen's wife, the better preacher, she said that the other day. She said, it's not about God. It's about, you do this for you. Well, that's wrong. Yeah. Everything you do is for God. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. Yeah. Now, as a byproduct, it's beneficial to you, but it's not all about you. It's all about Him. And I'll tell you, if you come to serve and come to worship, it's amazing how it'll change people's attitude and their spirit. I mean, we ought to worship. And by the way, not just when we do it corporately. I mean, worship is a lifestyle. Just like witnessing is a lifestyle. It's good to have a set time to do it. But just because it's not the set time of soul winning on Thursday at 6 o'clock, you know, or whenever you have it, Saturday at 10 a.m., you can witness to the lady at the gas station, you know, today if you want to. That'd be fine. I think the Lord would be fine with that. And if you're just in your car today, or just after the service is over and we've concluded, and we said the prayer, and you just start worshiping God at the dinner table, I think we'll all be fine with that too. I mean, we just worship God. In fact, I have Bible proof for that. Remember, they were kind of eating a meal, and Mary came in and broke the alabaster box of ointment. Whoa, it's not scheduled worship time. You just worship God. You know. And by the way, you worship God in a lot of different ways. Giving's a form of worship. A lot of people don't know that. The first time you read about worship, it's sacrificial giving, the word worship, when Abraham was to give his son as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. The Bible says, he said, we're going to worship. And so worship is sacrificial. You know what that tells me? It's not a feeling. It's not the way you say, well, I just don't feel like it right now. Well, that doesn't matter. Is he still worthy? Then you need to worship. Is it still commanded? It says he seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. We need both. We need spirit and truth. And they came, I'll tell you, they're wise because they came and worshiped him. We do our children a disservice when we teach them all the doctrines of the Bible, but yet do not teach them to worship the Lord. Just to worship him. To worship the Lord. They reverenced the Son. And then the last thing is this, in verse number 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They reacted to the speech. They were sensitive to the leading of the Lord, not just to his revelation, but the Lord spoke to them and said, do not return to Herod. They were sensitive. And we all understand this. When we kind of get away from the Lord, we lose that sensitivity to his leading. You know, the closer you are to the Lord, isn't it amazing how he'll whisper, go talk to that guy. Go talk to that guy. Well, the Lord hadn't been doing that. Well, maybe you're not listening. It's a still small voice. He's not going to yell at you. You need to be attentive. You need to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord in your life. And by the way, it's not just witnessing. I've always talked about that with witnessing, but you know, sometimes we'll say something and probably shouldn't have, and the Holy Spirit will say, apologize, you know, get that right with them. Good. Lord uses that still small voice through your wife a lot of times, and we don't like that, do we? You know, Brother Webb calls his wife Holy Spirit number two. There's some truth to that. Yeah. Lord uses your wife, you know. But they were sensitive, and they were submissive. The Lord told them, don't go back. You say, well, that's so simple. Obviously, they would obey. We say that, but you know, the Lord speaks to us, and it should be a simple thing just to be submissive to him, but we don't always. What would happen if they had returned? It could have caused a lot of problems. It was for their good, and it was for the Christ child's good and the family. And so they were submissive. And I like this one last little point. I really have a whole other sermon on this. But it says in verse number 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country. I like these last few words. Another way. Now, I know practically it just meant they didn't come the same way as they went, but I like to make the application of that. When they had the revelation of God and they came in contact with God himself in the flesh, they left different than the way they came. Don't you like that? I can make the application if I want to. I'll fit it in there. They departed a different way. I'll tell you, there's something that ought to take place when we get in the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, when the Word of God's preached, when it's taught, when you're exposed to the revelation of God, you ought to leave different than you came. Amen. It ought to make a difference in your life. And they departed a different way. I hope through all the preaching this morning that you'll depart just a little different than the way you came. Amen.
All right, let's all stand. Turn to hymn 137, Joy to the World. Appreciate that, Brother Pugh, very much. Boy, I seen preaching this time, I was thinking about his dad. He has some mannerism of his dad. I thought that was pretty, I don't know, I just never seen that before, but this morning I did. For some reason, it was a little more pronounced. Appreciate and proud of Brother Jason very much. All right, hymn 137, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Hymn 137.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven.